So on my off days, I like to work with my hands. And for me these days, that means building my new chicken coop. I've got the most awesome new chicken coop in my backyard. It's everything I've ever wanted in a chicken coop. And the chickens kind of like it too. But what I've been able to do in one end of my new chicken coop, I put in something I've always wanted. It's kind of like a little play yard for the chickens. There's like a little sandbox because they like to fool around in the sand. There's perches up above that, and I have it covered with a little pitched roof in case it's raining. You know, they can still play outside. And I went ahead, because I wanted it to look nice, I put asphalt shingles on top of that little pitched roof to match the garage. Come on, isn't that sweet? I mean, can you tell I don't have kids around the house anymore? Yeah, this is what I do. But that's where this whole project got a little messy for me. Because I don't know if you've ever worked with tar, but even worse than paint, tar gets everywhere. I mean, it just really multiplies. It gets every place. Now, I work with gloves on, right, to spread the tar before I put down the shingles. But I have to take off one glove at least to do the nails, right? So then I get a little bit of tar on my exposed hand, and that gets on my hammer, and that gets in my tool belt. And then, of course, to spread more tar, I have to put my gloves back on. So now I have tar inside my gloves. And then I got to move the ladder, so I have tar on the outside of the ladder. And you get the picture. It just gets everywhere. And all of the things that are best about tar on a roof, the things you love about tar on a roof, like the fact that it sticks to everything and that it never dries out, and that it won't come off with water, those are the very things that make it just terrible on your hands. So hard to get tar off your hands. Maybe you can wear it off. Maybe you can rub it off with turpentine, but it's a difficult thing. Tar gets everywhere, and it's hard to get off. In that way, it's a little bit like a reputation. A reputation. Reputations, they're easily bred, they're quickly spread, and they are difficult to shed, especially a bad reputation, right? Easily bred, they quickly spread, and they are difficult to shed. Now, this proverb today talks about our reputations. And it isn't often that we actually even get into the Proverbs, even though we probably should, because they're pretty cool. Has anybody ever just kind of gone through and read the Proverbs? Yeah. I mean, they're little snippets of wisdom that come down from Solomon, who was David's son. It's thought that he wrote most of the Proverbs. And he was considered the wisest man who ever lived, at least by the Old Testament standards, the wisest man who ever lived. And they cover a really amazing, kind of impressive breadth of subjects. Everything from work to wives to home life to husbands to how to raise our kids to temptation to trials to restraining our worst impulses. They really cover a lot of ground. Now, they're not promises from God per se. It's not like you do this and God's going to do this kind of thing. But they're observations about life, and particularly how to live a good life. And in this particular section of this proverb, we're talking about how important a good reputation is to living a good life. And it makes sense, right? Because you think about your reputation. Reputation precedes us. It goes before us. Gets there before we do. Our reputation lingers long after we have passed from the scene. Our reputation attaches itself to our children. Our reputation defines our families. A reputation of one person can honor or bring shame to a whole community. Reputation of one person can sink or strengthen an institution, even a church. reputation, the Proverbs say, is very, very important. And it starts off by telling us, in those kinds of terms, that a good name, our reputation, is more desirable than great riches. It's to be esteemed, to be honored, to be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Now, this is quite a big statement to make, especially in a culture like ours, where to have material wealth, to have lots of silver and gold, or the potential to make lots of silver and gold, those things are thought to be some of the highest things that we can attain, the highest value, to have material goods. In fact, in a lot of people, a lot of the way that people look at one another, to have material wealth is in and of itself the basis for a good reputation. But the Proverbs, the Bible, defines wealth in a different way. It says that our reputation, how people perceive us, is in itself wealth, in itself a thing of value. How people perceive us is in itself a thing of value. And that includes even those first impressions, even those the way that people perceive us in those first encounters. And I know that there can be a little pushback against that. I remember my son feeling that way, saying, you know, well, look, I don't really care what people think about me who I don't even know, and why should they be judging me anyway? He picked that up in church. But the fact is, people do. The fact is, how we are perceived, even in those first encounters, begins to add up to what becomes our reputation. One time, my son was going down to the desert. He was going to go camping, and he was going to go through the Salton Sea area. And if you know anything about that area, it's regarded as like a little sketchy. You know, there are people who kind of camp out there and do maybe not so great things. You know, there's just this little sketchy kind of area. Well, my son was going to go camping down there, and he was taking my big van. And this was in the days when he had dreadlocks. And I said to him, son, you know, you're going through the Salton Sea area. Chances are you're going to be stopped by the police on your way home. You're going to be stopped. So just be prepared. Be nice. Do everything they say, but just be prepared. You're going to be stopped. He's like, Dad, that's terrible. How could anybody just judge me just by the way I look? How could they do that? That's wrong. And I said, well, look, son, in that moment, all they know about you is what you look like. All they know, your reputation doesn't extend any further than how you look, how they perceive you. They don't know that you're in the youth group. They don't know that you know, love your mother and father and give your mom roses on Valentine's. They don't know anything about that. All they know is how you look. So, of course, he did get stopped. And, of course, I had to go down and bail him out. But, no, that's not true. Were you listening? Okay. Yeah, no. No, he stopped. And it was fine. But how we are perceived is the beginning of our reputation, of developing a reputation. Okay? How we're perceived. And it goes deeper than that, though. How we are perceived is important. But then also how we proceed through our lives, through making decisions and saying the words that we want to say, the things that we say and the things that we do, how we proceed. And how we proceed in cultivating our reputation, the proverb says, is with prudence. It says a prudent person, a prudent man, a prudent person is a man who sees danger and takes refuge. So in cultivating a good reputation, we got to get in the habit of looking ahead and thinking, what is going to be the perception of this thing I'm going to say, this decision I'm going to make? How is that going to be seen by other people? And how might it damage or enhance my reputation going forward? For us these days, that so often means taking a minute, being a little prudent before we answer that email. You ever written that email when you're really upset? Just taking that prudent moment before we send that email, before we respond to that tweet, for crying out loud before we post that picture on Instagram, before we go to that party for young people, before we say yes to that romantic advance by that boyfriend or that girlfriend, before we enter into that business deal, before we say that thing again to our wife or say that thing again to our husbands, before we make any decision to take that moment of prudent, patient reflection before we go ahead. A prudent man, a prudent person sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple just keep on going and they suffer for it. Anybody ever made an ill-considered word, spoken an ill-considered word, or made an ill-considered decision and suffered for it later? Yeah, anybody ever had your reputation a little damaged, maybe by a string of those kinds of things? I'll raise my hand if all of you are afraid to raise. Okay, come on. Right? Prudence. I was reading a biography of Billy Graham the other day, the great evangelist Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, you know, on top of being famous and being very powerful and being extraordinarily charismatic, he also spent weeks, sometimes months, away from his family. And he knew that that was a pitfall. Before he began his ministry, he looked at what would bring down, what had brought down so many other ministries before him. And there were two things, finances and morals. Finances and morals. And so he built up boundaries around his ministry to protect him from those things. Most famously, he made a decision that he would never, and he didn't do this throughout his 50 years of ministry, he would never have a meal alone with a woman who was not his wife. He took a little bit of grief for that, but he knew what I think we all know instinctively. He knew that, number one, even the appearance of impropriety can damage a reputation. And not only his personal reputation, but the reputation of his whole ministry. And he also knew this. He knew human nature. He knew his own human nature. And he knew that temptation can destroy and can undermine our best intentions. So he never allowed space for that temptation. And he never allowed even the appearance of impropriety to damage his reputation and the reputation of his institution, his evangelistic association. So how we proceed with those decisions we make, we proceed with prudence. Prudence means waiting. Prudence means having patience. And for the Christian, that means filling up that time of prudent patience with prayer. Asking God what it is that I should do in this situation. Listening for the ministrations of the Holy Spirit. And that is really the key to developing our own, cultivating our own good reputation. And that is being aware of the reputation that we are cultivating with our Father in heaven. The reputation we are cultivating with our Father in heaven. That's the reputation that we cultivate when nobody else is looking. That's the reputation, that reputation with our Father in heaven. That's the reputation that we cultivate by trying to do the things that Jesus asks us to do the things, like I was telling the kids, that God would rather we do. Last week we were talking about how it is that we are called to be gracious to those who are not so gracious to us, to be good to those who are not so good to us. That's how we build, cultivate a good reputation with our Father in heaven. A few weeks ago we talked about how we honor God by honoring one another and respecting one another and telling one another the truth about the gospel. That's how we cultivate a reputation with our Father in heaven. It's how we watch our words when we're tempted to gossip and to slander other people. Because you know what? Gossip and slander, that is robbery. That's robbing a person of their right to cultivate their own reputation. When we take another person's reputation and gossip and slander is like tarring that reputation, we're robbing people of their opportunity to create and cultivate their own reputation. That's larceny. We don't want to do that. Gossip and slander. To cultivate our reputation with our Father in heaven. I mean, seeking the ministrations, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit before we make any of those rash decisions or say any of those rash things. By seeking God with humility, that's how we are able to bring out our better angels and cultivate that good reputation with our Father in heaven. Now, our church, now this church in particular, the United Methodist Church in general, is in this next year going to be coming up to a season where we need to make decisions about what kind of church we want to be and our reputation in the community of churches, and in this community specifically. I hope that we'll make some decisions to be the kind of church that is welcoming to all people, regardless of how they may look to us, regardless of their age, regardless of the things that they're struggling with. That we're the kind of church that will be welcoming to all, and the kind of church that will also tell the truth in all situations, the truth as we understand it from the gospel, the truth that we get from our Father in heaven through this book and through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we're a place where truth meets grace for all people. We have an opportunity to create our own good reputation. It begins with each one of us paying attention to our own personal reputations as part of this institution called this church. But it's also being mindful that for every single one of us and every single person that comes in that door, regardless of how we perceive them at first, every single one has the opportunity, and this goes for you and me, has the opportunity to have our reputations completely reformed. The minute that we repent of wherever we are, regardless of our reputation, regardless of what we've done in the past, any person, the minute that they are ready to repent of that, accept Jesus as their Savior, walk forward with Him, well, our reputation with our Father in heaven is made perfect in that moment. Our good name is reborn, reformed before our Father. And that's the beginning of reforming our reputations among people. Listen, our reputation among people is only going to be as strong and as good as is our reputation with our Father in heaven. So we begin there as individuals and as a church. Our reputation as an individual, our good reputation, it precedes us. It lingers long after we've passed away. Our good reputation attaches to our children, defines our families. Our good reputation brings honor to our communities. Our good reputation and bring honor and glory to this very church. Our bad reputation can tarnish all of the above. My prayer is that we'll move forward this week mindful of what kind of reputation we want to have, both before our Father in heaven and before one another. That we'll proceed with prudence, with patience, and with prayer, understanding that our good reputation is valuable, more valuable than silver or gold. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word today, for the words that come to us in the Proverbs, the words that come to us in all of Scripture. We ask, O God, that you help us become those people that can open our arms wide to anyone who walks into this place and tell the truth with confidence that indeed you change lives and that your love for us is the reason that we're all here. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.